Welcome to the Manager Matt podcast show. The show is designed to give you solutions to your day-to-day management and leadership problems. It's hosted by Matthew Haddock, a frontline manager and leader with over 25 years of experience. If you're ready, then let's get on with the show.
Welcome to the Manager Matt podcast show. This week's show, I want to examine the idea of effective communication in the business. What is effective communication? What is the cycle of communication? And what are the barriers to communication? And due to it being a complicated subject, this is going to be done in two parts. So this is the first part of two on communication. Without any more delay then, let's get on with this week's show. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the show. Hope you're doing well. Hope you are delivering through others what you need to get done this week or next week or the week before. Been another busy week for myself here at the Management Consultancy business. Lots of work on working with some great companies around how they can improve their processes, how they can help people get better in the workplace. So been really enjoyable. And one of the things that comes up quite a lot when you're talking in different businesses is around the idea of communication and effective communication, which is one of the key points of most businesses, is how do you become effective? I mean, effective communications is the backbone of a well-run business. It allows all levels in the organisations to have the correct information, to make good decisions, to make sure the customer is served, the business delivers results. Effective communication also makes the business a safer place, improves its quality, it reduces its costs. All those things happen. And on a personal level, people work better when they're communicated to with up-to-date and accurate information. People also understand the purpose and the role they play in the business when given effective communication. Supervisors and managers have a big part to play in that, especially when it comes down to communicating with their teams. With an effective and accurate communication strategy, problems will be easier to solve, people are more motivated to do a better job. Now, let's not just forget about the senior leaders. You know, if you're a senior leader, you should also consider your approach to communications to the business. You know, when a senior leader engages and is open to communicate regularly with their direct reports, decisions are made at the right level because people know what decisions are meant to be made from the top. They're made in the right time because they're not waiting for people to do things. And when information and communications are flowing both ways, it's so much easier for the business to function. It's almost like a lubricant for the gears. On the reverse, if information communication is limited or inaccurate, then, of course, rumours start to spread, misunderstanding starts to creep in, and it affects the efficient running of the business. The first best thing any manager, any supervisor, and any leader can do is to make sure they have time with their teams to communicate what is expected of them, what the business is there for, and what actions need to be taken to deliver results. So that's a real quick intro into what I think effective communication is. And if you've got a lot of that in place, well done. You're doing really well. A lot of the times you won't, or actually one of the biggest things I hear when I'm around businesses of different sizes is communication is the number one biggest problem. And the barriers to communication are a biggest problem. And it seems strange because we communicate on so many different levels and so many different formats these days. You think communications would be the thing that we can really get nailed and get done well, but it's still there. Some of the research I've been looking at recently is around the idea of this communication cycle. Now, this is a way of showing how a person passes on ideas or messages, how they send that message to a receiver, and then, of course, how that receiver communicates back to the person who sent it. And if you think of this cycle, you know, you've got a person who has to transmit a message, so that is the sender, and that's got to go to the receiver. But of course, the overall important part of this is that the objective is to develop some sort of understanding of the message or some action that needs to be taken so that when you look at the cycle, that's the whole aim of it. Now, the communication cycle can be both verbal and non-verbal. But of course, in most modern businesses, as you know, a lot of it is down to electronic sending, so non-verbal. And that's the way we work. The medium is obviously the way that it can be encoded into something to be transmitted. So you're transmitting the message. The receiver then has to take the message in, has to then apply some logic or some decisions or a reaction, and then give feedback back to the sender. So that's how the cycle works. Now, the first part of any communication cycle is the sender itself. Now, we do over-communicate in certain places, but for the wrong reasons. The number of emails that are just there to cover people's backs are amazing. But the idea is that you initiate a message by creating an idea, and then that message is sent. Now, this message could be from your manager. It could be coming from a customer or from a co-worker. And the aim of that communication is that something needs to be done, or some information needs to be given, or they need some feedback on something that's been done well or not done well, or maybe there's some feedback of an action or corrective action that needs to be taken. So the first part of the cycle is that person creating the message to be sent. Then the message is encoded, as I've said. This can be in spoken word. It can be by electronic version, so emails, memos, working documents, emails, again, it's very common all the time, phone messages, texts, video now and pictures. And these messages are then transmitted either through the technology, as we said, or going and talking face-to-face. Now, face-to-face meetings can be very quick. They're in person. The message can be delivered fast. But technology obviously gives the receiver a hard copy of the message to be sent, and it can be sent to many, many people. Now, when that receiver gets it, they have to then decode it, the message. Now, either by listening, reading, or watching, then they need to interpret it and put meaning to it. And, of course, this is where it goes wrong. This is where you hear that famous phrase, it got lost in translation, because different people interpret things in different ways, and the meaning can get lost. So, of course, the final part of this cycle is to feedback through the sender. So the receiver, has to feedback to the sender the response. And this can be in the same message, such as an email, or could be in other ways of communicating back. So if you get an email, sometimes it's easy to get off your desk, walk to the person and actually ask them or tell them what you're doing. So that's the actual essence of the cycle itself and how the cycle is worked. I think it's good to understand that cycle because it actually opens up the fact that sometimes when you communicate, you are completely bamboozled, great word, bamboozled, by the person not understanding what you've sent them or not understanding or not doing. And of course, some of that you might put down to the person obviously not caring and not bothering. But most of the time, it's got lost in the middle. The translation's got lost, the misunderstanding. And that leads me on to the ideas of barriers. You know, how are these barriers of effective communication? And the barrier can be both from the sender and the receiver. And the potential barriers is mainly about the understanding of the message being sent or, of course, the feedback being given. The most obvious barrier in a lot of areas is things like language and culture. If a person can't understand the message sent, then, you know, how can they actually send anything back? So if they can't speak the same language or understand it, or if they can't read the same language, the chances are that communication is going to be ineffective and going to be limiting. Now, these days, thankfully, translating software is very easy to be used on most phones, they have it, so that helps with the written. But face-to-face conversations can be more difficult. I work in organisations that have a number of different people who are not English speakers, which obviously I am. So that does make it difficult to communicate. Not impossible, just much more difficult when you are speaking face to face. And a lot of the culture is, especially when you've got a person who's in authority, is to say yes. You get a lot of time where you'll ask someone rules and tell them something they're doing. And yes. And then they don't, because they assume it's easy to say yes to someone who's in charge, which you've got to be aware of. You've also got to understand that when you're transmitting a message and you've got to get understood, that you need to put in a format that that person can understand. Sometimes in business, there's a lot of pushback saying, oh no, we shouldn't change as languages, it must be in English. But, you know, why would we? If you go into any foreign country, anywhere in the world, you'll see road signs that are simple. They use pictures to indicate the danger or the action needs to be taken. In a business, this is the same. Safety signals or hygiene rules can and should be put in something that can be easily done, because if you leave it, then people make mistakes. And obviously, there's also other cultural barriers when you talk around greeting. Some society, especially the Western society, shake hands when you meet. Other cultures, say Oriental Japanese, they'll bow. It's important to recognise that. Of course, there's some other basic barriers to communication. Things such as physical barriers can get in the way. If you think of an area that's noisy, that you can't hear them. If you're wearing protective equipment, such as when we were in COVID and everyone had masks. When you had distance between people, very difficult for people to communicate. So you've got to understand those barriers. And in our modern workplace, there's now a barrier of people working from home more. Therefore, you have to take the time, instead of just getting up and walking to a desk, to put a call in and see if you can catch them. And then people work in different time zones. Sometimes people will do early mornings and doesn't match you, or they work in different countries. So again, lots of that. You've got technical barriers. You've got to think sometimes how many times people's internet drop out when they're working from home, or the phone doesn't work, or the call drops because they're in a train. These all add in to not being able to communicate your message or get the message received. There is some organisational barriers to communication. You know, if a business has a strict hierarchy barrier, that can be a big barrier because people won't communicate to others because they feel that those person is too high up. Or if an office door is closed all the time, you're less likely to go and speak to that person because there's a barrier. That can naturally stop the flow of communication and can put people off communicating in the right way. There's also emotional barriers, such as people not trusting and maybe fearing others. Therefore, they don't want to pass a message on or they don't want to speak about that message. And these emotional barriers can be very hard to see. They're not as tangible as a mask or a hearing defender. So it's something to be well aware of when you're using communications in organisations. So as you know, I'm all about sorting problems out. So let's just think about how we can overcome the potential barriers to communication. Well, firstly, you need to identify why they are failing and when. So communicate effectively and remove barriers. Both the sender and the receiver need to be on the same wavelength. There may also need to be a change in some culture or business practices to reduce those barriers, both seen and unseen. And in some cases, the failure is traced to each party needing a different form of communication to make it work. Like, for example, a person who loves face-to-face communications, both formal and informal, will really struggle if that person won't talk to them or is working remotely and prefers email. Now, of course, a simple fix to this, you can arrange a Teams call or a Zoom call, but there's also the complication that both sides need to be allowed to have smooth communication. But as I said at the beginning, this is a two-parter. So what I'm not going to do is go too deeply into the idea of the balance between a communication style and a way of improving a communication style. So I'm hoping you've enjoyed the first part of this. And if you have got any feedback on this, you know the drill. If you send it to managermattpodcast@gmail.com. Love to engage on new and old topics around the whole process of communication. And as feedback is a gift, it'd be great for you to send back what you think I can do differently to improve the show. Well, that's it for Manager Matt this week. I hope you tune into part two, but thanks for listening and goodbye.
Thank you so much for listening to this Manager Matt podcast. We hope you found it interesting, helpful and actionable. One last thing, please leave a quick review on iTunes or with your podcast provider, as it helps to spread the word of Manager Matt. If you haven't already done so, please subscribe to the podcast. And if you did like anything in particular, send an email to managermattpodcast@gmail.com or visit managermatt.co.uk for more content. Feedback is a gift, so let's keep giving. See you next week.